Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. And Genesis chapter 16, let me say this first of all. I've heard a lot of preaching and I've done a lot of preaching, and I generally will not preach another man's outline or sermon, usually because it's not just because it was his, it's just it doesn't fit the way we do it. But when I was in Idaho, Pastor Jason Murphy at the Open Door Baptist Church in Linwood, Washington, preached, and he preached basically the outline that I'm going to give you tonight. I've modified it some. And so I want to tell you where that came from, because it is very appropriate for this particular text, and that saved me having hammered it out. Here's something good. You know, ordinarily I wouldn't do this, but I just got in from Austin. We took time to pray. Spent my afternoon the normal Bible study that I do before the service, and so to really give you something that was worth giving you, I didn't have the time. I wouldn't have preached this otherwise. But I think the Lord did that so you could get this. And appreciate the Lord doing that for us tonight. Genesis chapter 16, look at verse 1. We'll read down to verse 5, and we'll look at a couple of other verses in the chapter. Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, "My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're very thankful tonight for the opportunity to open this text. So thankful, Father, for the work that's already been done in preparation of this sermon for us. I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, use this text, this material, to be a blessing, Father. We all recognize now, every time somebody stands here and opens this Bible to instruct, there's either doctrine that's communicated to help us with our knowledge of the Word of God, or there is preaching that brings reproof and correction and instruction. So tonight, Father, we pray that you will use great liberty to apply these points, these scriptures, to your people in just the way, Father, you want us to receive them. For we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me make sure I think that thing is on, not ring. I like that idea. Check your cell phone, turn it off. So funny he did that and all of a sudden one started ringing. So in this text, here's what's happened. They've been in the land of Canaan 10 years, but back in Genesis chapter 13, the Lord told Abram, he said, after Lot and Abram split and Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, the Lord said to him, "You know what? I'm going to give you this land. We'll give it all to you and to your seed." In Genesis chapter 15, Abram said, "You know, we were talking about a seed and we hadn't seen one of those yet. What are you going to give me? Because right now my heir happens to be my servant." It was Eliezer. And the Lord told him again, at the end of Genesis chapter 15, that he was going to give him, in verse 18 of Genesis 15, "Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." So the Lord has confirmed, once in Genesis chapter 12, "I will bless thee," and going to bless his seed, again in Genesis chapter 13, and again in Genesis chapter 15, that he's going to give him a seed. But 10 years had passed. And Sarah said, "You know, we got a problem here, Abram, because the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." Title of the sermon is, "What Happens When You Get Ahead of God." And the first thing that happens is you begin to doubt God. God said he's going to do it in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 15. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a seed and I'm going to give you the land. After 10 years of waiting, Sarah says, ain't happened. We got to come up with another plan. And so they began to doubt God. And you know something? You saw it in Genesis chapter 3 when the devil showed up to tempt Eve about that fruit. The very first thing he did was to cause her to doubt God. He questioned God. And she also questioned God here and doubted God. Listen, when you have the Word of God and you have been given something from the Lord in the Scripture, you don't want to doubt God. You don't want to doubt God. You say, well, this isn't happening as quickly as I thought it should. You don't want to doubt God. This is not happening the way I thought it should. You don't want to doubt God. When you have God's Word on something, then what you want to remember is if God hasn't done what He said He would do, then it's not God's time. And the last thing in the world I want to do is get ahead of God and go ahead and do what I think needs to be done because He's not coming through. Which leads to the second point. And that is that once you begin to doubt God, you will begin to develop your own plan. Again in verse 2, Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. So she's put that back on the Lord. And then I pray thee, go in unto my maid. That's Sarah's plan. And of course it becomes Abram's plan because he agrees with her to go into Hagar. But you know, ultimately, the one thing we have to remember about ourselves is this, people do what they want to do. They really do. We do. We do what we want to do. And so if we can justify an excuse, God hasn't done this thing as quickly as I think He should have done this thing, and we make the decision, you've got to fight that temptation in you, and I've got to fight that temptation in me to make something happen when God isn't making something happen. And we got to fight that temptation to make our own plan. We've been praying for quite some time. It's just remarkable what the Lord has done here. He gave us a radio ministry, and that's God's plan, and it's working very well. And gave us this internet site, and I keep hearing what God is doing with that and the help that it's been. Tremendous thing that this is a ministry that was part of God's plan in a nursing home ministry. And as I told you just recently, Nelda got saved. Lou Ann followed up repeatedly. God has given us Bible Club, and it's an improvement for our kids over what we had in Master Club. Though Master Club was a lot of fun, they're getting more Bible now, and it's helping them. And those that want to be here really want to be here for it. And God gave us the Port Ministry, and you see what's happening. And these men that are involved in it have taken the time to learn from God how that plan is to be effectual. How do you go when you have time, maybe in a day, to see three or four ships, and there's 12 ships in the harbor? How do you know? God directs your path and says, you're not going to get on that one today. You're going to go over here. And they learn that, and you see the fruit of it. So we've been praying I believe there's another thing that God would like to do, some other ministry that the Lord wants us to do. And there are all kinds of people out that have programs in their churches that really work for them. They say, you know, you could do one of these or you could do one of these. And we've been just praying and waiting, God, but what is your plan? What is your plan? Because once you know what that plan is and you begin to institute the plan He has for Bible Believers Baptist Church or for your family, or for you individually, it's going to work. It's going to be God's plan. It's going to be like He wants. Don't get ahead of God and make your own plan. Young people are bad about that because they're hasty. I say young people, you know, that includes me. We can be a little hasty sometimes. We fight that temptation to do what we want to do. Third thing, you'll begin to take some unwise risks with your future. Notice what she says again in verse 2. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Maybe. You know, because what Sarah has in her mind is this baby will be born and it'll be my baby. Maybe I'll obtain children by her. We know it didn't quite work out like that. And you don't want to get into something that involves an area of your life where maybe this is going to work. That's not a good plan. The nice thing about God, he says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe you'll be saved. Maybe. No, he didn't say that at all. He says, ask in my name, maybe I'll answer it. If you ask according to my will. He doesn't say that. If you ask anything according to his will, he'll do it. You know, God doesn't deal in those areas of maybe, because he has foreknowledge and he knows exactly how things are going to turn out and he knows how he wants them to turn out. God works in you. It's our responsibility to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's not going to be able to do that if we get into some plans that maybe this will work. Maybe this will work out. You don't want to take unwise risks with your future. Why? Because there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. And you know something? If you will take the time to read the Scripture, pray, watch God moving in the circumstances of your life, and seek godly counsel, you can eliminate the uncertainties about the decisions you're going to make. Because other people, godly people, have already been down that road and they said, no, you take that turn, that's not going to work out. The Scripture, it's amazing how when you open this Bible and begin to read, God shows you verses of Scripture and you're like, that's right there, the thing I needed. And you watch how God is working in circumstances of life, you know that He's leading and you're not ahead of God. I've said before, and you know that, a lot of praying of people today is they've made their plans, they're doing what they want to do, and they're asking God to bless the mess they're making. God can do that, but He's not really interested in doing it that way. He wants you to follow His plan. And therefore, He doesn't want you to take unwise risks with your future. And I say unwise risks, because when Jonathan and the armor bearer went after that garrison, there was a risk involved in that. When a man goes to a mission field with his family, there's a risk involved in that. We understand that. But that's not an unwise risk when God has led you out there. It's just some of the shakiness that goes with the call. So when you get ahead of God, the first thing you do is begin to doubt God. God's not moving. I need to take the matters into my hand. You'll make your own plan, and then you'll take unwise risks with your future. But that's not all. You know what you're going to do? You're going to begin to hurt other people. So listen, Abram and Sarah cooked up this plan. What about Hagar? She's working for him. So if Sarah says, okay, you're working for me, you're going to be my husband's wife. She's not going to say, guys, have y'all really sat down and prayed about this and figured whether it's a good idea? She's the servant. So they didn't take into consideration what might happen to her if, in fact, she did conceive. I mean, after all, Sarah's figuring this is going to be my baby. What do you think Hagar is going to, how's she going to deal with that? And notice, just jump down to verse 11 to get to the point. Hagar's kicked out of the house. She fled in verse 6. And in verse 11, the angel of the Lord showed up and said to her, "That behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael." Watch it. "Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." Hagar got hurt. They didn't think about that. And you know something, when you get ahead of God and you start going with your plan at the things we've already talked about, you know, your children might be affected by the bad decision. Your spouse might be affected by the bad decision. Other people that are close, your own family might be affected by it. No doubt when you do something and you get ahead of God, you get hurt, but we are not an island. We don't live unto ourselves. We have connections with other people. Today, when we have young people that, I use the expression, blow out on God, because they've done the very thing we're talking about here and kind of cooked up their own plan. They have no earthly idea how much their parents hurt. They have no earthly idea. And you know why? They have no reference point for the pain. They don't have children. And until they have children, which could be many years later, and that are then the age that they are when they do this to mom and dad, that's when they're going to learn, and that's way late to be able to take away the pain they've just caused. Because they've got to live with that all those years. They never think about it. It never even crosses their mind. I'm doing what I want to do. And I'm asking, look, I've already talked to God about this. It's a good deal. And not even aware of the damage. And parents, we have no way to communicate that to them because they can't see our hearts. There's no way. That's just one example. But you understand, listen, when you get ahead of God, it's not just your life that's being affected, and you've got to really be careful about that. But that's not all there is to this yet. There's another one. You'll drag other people into your sin with you. Look at verse 4:3, just so we can keep reading into the context. Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, and he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. Oh, you just drug her into this. And now she has become a part of the problem. We could go on with this, but I remember years ago when we were in Beeville, there was a car accident. And if I'm not mistaken, there were 4 people in the car. The car flipped on a country road, and 3 of the people died because the car caught on fire. And one of them survived with terrible burns. You know what that was? That's one person that wanted to go joyriding in a car and didn't have any business driving. And 3 other people that got seriously affected by the decision. Yeah, you'll drag other people into your sin. And so what you need to do is you need to back off on a decision that you're not sure about when you're trying to get ahead of God and just ask yourself the question, who could get hurt here? And who else am I dragging into this that's going to become a part of what I'm doing? Who am I making? You know, there are people that are serving time in prison today who are hanging around the wrong people, and there was a bank robbery involved, and they just happened to be in the car. Some of them will tell you that, and they really had more to do with the crime. But others will tell you that, and it's really true. There's a guy that I've met that's doing time, and he just wouldn't snitch on the person. So, but there was a person that was killed in this incident, and his life has been destroyed. And he was just there. He was just there. I'll tell you something else. What happens when you get ahead of God? You will never be fully satisfied with the results. You won't be. Look at verse 5. He went into verse 4 to keep reading. She conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. That's not a person who's satisfied with the outcome. This deal didn't work out like I thought it was going to work out at all. And not only that, you know, other people get affected by your sin. It's your fault, Abram. Now, who's the one that came up with the idea? Sarah. But now it's Abram's fault. My wrong be on thee. God judge between me and thee. Boy, I mean, you want to bring God into this and see what he thinks about this mess you've just created? That's craziness. It's affecting their marriage. It's affected Hagar's life. Now there's going to be a baby born to this thing. And they're not satisfied with the outcome. But what are you going to do? This is a big mistake, but this is a big boo-boo. What are you going to do now? And it leads us to the last point. You're going to live with these consequences from now on. And it all started with, I don't think God's coming through here for us. And that's where it starts, and when it ends up, you're not satisfied. And you have now got some consequences, and you will not be able to shake those consequences. You'll pray, and the Lord may reduce the size of your harvest, but there'll always be something there you've sown that you're going to reap. Always. And so honestly, you don't want to get to a place in your life where you never go with what God's planning, but you really don't want to get into a situation where you're ahead of His plan. If you are in communion with the Lord, praying, reading your Bible, seeking counsel, watching Him work in the circumstances of your life, He will lead you. He said He would. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He will lead you. Don't worry about that. He promised that He would do that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said that. Just watch for Him and follow Him. Don't get ahead of God in your plans. Amen. Father, thank You so much for an opportunity to see something in this little passage of Scripture here that's very helpful to us. I'm not sure exactly how it applies to each of us in our lives. I certainly have been blessed by it. It's given me the understanding concerns the plan, concerning things in this church, not to move on anything till we know which way You're going. And I sure pray for our folks here too. In personal decisions that are being made, help them to understand how to apply these things in their lives as well for Jesus' sake. Amen.